16 this evening. Acts chapter 16. It's a well-known portion of Scripture. And there's just one verse I want to read to you from it. Really, we'll be considering for a short season the passage from verse 16 right through to verse 34 or 35. But in Acts 16 and verse 25, we read these words. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Let's just have a wee brief word of prayer. Father in heaven, the hour is late. Perhaps the mind and body is weak and tired. But O God, our Father, we ask that thy word will be a blessing to our souls. Give me help now as I just leave a few thoughts and a brief sermon skeleton or outline with the people. May it encourage their hearts and bless their souls. And may this experience of Paul's at midnight be our experience this year. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This passage of Scripture, the verse that we read, presents for us one of the midnight scenes in Scripture. If you want to do a little study, then I encourage you to examine the midnight scenes in the Bible. The cry went up at midnight in the parable, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh." That's one of them. And I'm not going to give any more. And there's something for you to study in the new year. But here's another one. In Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas had come to Philippi. The Lord had led them to this place. The gospel was now going to go into the continent of Europe. And this was the place where a church would first be planted in Europe. And this verse, and indeed the passage from verse 16 to verse 34 or 35, gives us the experience of these two servants of God at midnight. Now that's appropriate for us tonight as we come to the midnight hour. And yet I put it to you that what happened to Paul and Silas at midnight should be the experience of the people of God on an ongoing basis. And it would be my prayer that in the year that is to come, Paul and Silas's experience at midnight will happen in this church. If it happens the once, may it will be a blessing. If it happens more than the once, what a tremendous year we will have. But what happened at midnight for Paul and Silas? Verse 25, at midnight, the first thing we have to say is this: it was a midnight of persecution. Because you will notice in verse 23, it says, when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison. Just before midnight, Paul and Silas were beaten, they were whipped, and they were persecuted. And if you take time to read from verse 16, you will discover that the reason why they were beaten and why they were whipped and why they had their clothes rent and beaten was for nothing more or nothing less than their preaching of the gospel. The fact that they had proclaimed the gospel and a young woman had been converted. The reality is that none of us want to face persecution. If we have our choice, we would rather be at peace and we would rather proclaim the gospel in a spirit of peace. But I put it to you that this persecution, this beating and whipping of Paul and Silas led to great blessing. And I say to you tonight, Surely if it meant blessing coming from the Lord, we would be prepared and willing to suffer for Christ Jesus' sake. It was this persecution that was received because they preached the gospel. And I would challenge each heart tonight. Are we individually and as a congregation prepared to proclaim the word of God and the gospel, no matter what it costs? That's the experience. That's the state of heart the Lord would want us to have. Are we prepared to proclaim the gospel, even if it costs us persecution from the world? It was a midnight of persecution. But then, it was a midnight of prayer. That's what verse 25 tells us. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. Isn't it wonderful to note that having been whipped and beaten because they preached the gospel, a young woman was converted. Her masters lost their gain from her. They were persecuted for it. And rather than panic, they prayed. Paul wasn't in terror that his missionary journey was now over. No, he was contented in the Lord. And there with his feet in the stocks, in the inner prison, in the darkness at midnight, rather than panicking, he prayed. He didn't complain. He called upon the Lord. And how often is it the case that it may be in the work of God? And that's the context of this passage. Paul encountered difficulty in the work of God, and he brought it to the Lord in prayer. How often do we encounter and experience difficulties in the work of God, and we panic, we have a lack of faith, we doubt the Lord, we confide in our companions and our fellow believers, what are we going to do? Maybe it's a situation within our own lives where we don't know the answer. There are problems and difficulties. It may be in the workplace. It may be in the home. It may be in the broader family circle. And rather than bringing the matter to the Lord, we panic. We try to fix the matter ourselves. We confide in others. No, Paul and Silas, though they were persecuted, they prayed. What an example for us that when we face difficulties in the work of God, and there will be obstacles in the work of God. There is a devil who will oppose us in 2019. There is a world that will seek to hinder the going forth of the gospel. What should we do in the darkest prison? Paul brought the matter to the Lord in prayer. And that's what we should do, praying always. All prayer and supplication. It was a midnight of persecution. It was a midnight of prayer. The third one's easy, isn't it? You could nearly give the preacher the outline for himself. It was a midnight of praise. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them singing. They weren't ashamed to lift up their voice. They weren't worried about being out of tune. Their backs were aching. Their wounds were bleeding and weeping. How do I know that? Because after they were released from prison in verse 33, he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. Aye, they whipped them and beat them and just threw them into prison. And I have no doubt their bodies were throbbing and aching, and bleeding, and weeping. And yet they lifted up their voice and they sang praise unto the Lord. The psalmist said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my lips. And it's easy to bless the Lord when the sun is shining and the wind is at our back and all is going well. But here's two virtuous servants of God, and everything's against them. Oh, they feel they're doing the will of God. They're trying to go on with God. They're trying to do a work for the Lord. And yet they've been beaten and cast into prison and they don't know what the future holds. And yet they praise the Lord. Oh, may God give us that spirit in 2019. Whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. And may His praise continually be upon our lips. No matter what happens, should the cupboards be empty, should the wallet be empty, should the work of God be hard and difficult, may we continually praise the Lord. Trust in Him for all that is to come. It was a midnight of persecution. It was a midnight of prayer. It was a midnight of praise. Can I say it was a midnight of power? Look at verse 26. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors opened and everyone's bands were loosed. Why did God send that earthquake? You know, the Lord not only sent the earthquake, He did a miracle. For in that earthquake, the doors were off their hinges, the chains were loosed, and there wasn't a man who either escaped or was injured. That was a miracle. And I believe God shook that building in answer to the prayer and the praise of Paul and Silas. I'm only suggesting this, but was it a case that they were calling upon the Lord to intervene? Lord, you've brought us to Philippi. We heard the Macedonian call, come over and help us. The Spirit led us here. Lydia was saved. This young damsel, the devil was cast out of her. We're on the verge of building and planting a church. Lord, we're in prison. We need you to intervene. And the Lord, by His mighty power, sent that earthquake and did a miracle and intervened. Men and women, God is able to intervene. When the church is facing difficulties, when the nation is facing uncertainty, God is able to intervene in power and turn the situation in the home and the church around. Praise the Lord that when the situation seems to be going against us, God has power. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, and He can intervene. And do you notice the word suddenly? He can do it suddenly. Don't we want and need and look for a sudden demonstration of God's power in this generation in which we live and in the Church of Christ, that He will turn it again unto the Lord? He's able to do the exceeding abundantly, and He can intervene suddenly. It may look glum. It may look bleak. The outlook may seem very, very difficult for the Church of Christ in the days that are to come. But suddenly, God can intervene. He did that in the days of Hezekiah. It tells us the thing was done suddenly. There was reformation. There was revival. And it was done suddenly. God's power was unleashed suddenly. That was the same as Acts chapter 2. It tells us when the Holy Ghost fell in Acts 2 and verse 2. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Suddenly God came among them. Oh, in answer to prayer and praise, God can demonstrate His power, and may He do it this year. But then it was a midnight of proclamation. Because in verse 31, verse 30, they were asked a question. There was a man, the jailer, and he was terrified. He thought in verse 27 that the prisoners had been fled. His life was going to be no longer worth living. He would lose his job, might even lose his life anyway. And he was going to take the sword and plunge it into himself. Paul cried out, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." In verse 29, it says he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling. Fell down. Here's a man under conviction of sin. Aye, the power of God wasn't just shaking the building. but he was shaking hearts. Men and women, I say to you tonight, I'm not looking for God to shake any building in 2019. But we do pray and we long that God will shake the hearts of men and women and cause them to tremble in their sin. That's what this man was experiencing. He was trembling in his sin. He came under sudden conviction. And he cried out, "What must I do to be saved?" And Paul and Silas had the opportunity to personally witness. And they proclaimed the gospel. "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house." Oh, may God give us opportunity to sit with men and women one-on-one. Oh, he'll give us the opportunity, I have no doubt, publicly. Here was a more private setting. One individual coming and seeking God's salvation. Paul had the opportunity to say, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." And oh, may the Lord give us the midnight experience of proclaiming the gospel to individuals under conviction of sin and saying, "Believe, and thou shalt be saved." Then it was the midnight, finally, not only of persecution, prayer, praise, power, and proclamation. It was the midnight of profession. For there in verse 33, it tells us he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. Baptism is a public profession. It's a public confession of Christ as your Savior. It's the outward symbol. When a man or woman is plunged into the water, it signifies they've died in Christ. And when they come up, they've risen again in newness of life, and they're walking in the new life. They've died to the old life. They're living the new life. They've been washed clean by the blood of the Lamb. This man was not only saved, but he was baptized, and he publicly professed Jesus Christ to be his Savior. There has been interest expressed in the congregation in baptism recently, and we hope in the new year to have the opportunity to announce to the congregation if we can organize a baptism service. And it would be great if there were those from our own congregation who were baptized professing the Lord to be their Savior, and going through that sacrament as an outward sign of their salvation and an obedience to Christ. But oh, we long for men and women to publicly profess Him, to profess their faith in Him, and to live for Him, and to go through with Him, and to show the world publicly, "I am a Christian. I'm going to live for Him in the newness of life." Oh, what started with this man giving Paul and Silas a right whipping and a beating ended with him tending to their wounds, putting right the wrong, and then publicly professing Christ. What a midnight experience it was. If it happens at midnight, oh, we'd be delighted, but we're saying this is an experience we'd want to have throughout the year. And may the Lord be pleased to grant it to us for the glory and honor of His own name. Let's unite our hearts together in prayer before we sing a few favorite hymns and see the new year in.